us, O Lord, no good thing to withhold back from thee. He is perfect in wisdom and faithful to bless. Trust his word in his time, he will give you his best. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Be not weary in waiting, for love suffers long. If you faint not, you'll reap when the harvest is come. Run with patience the race as you rest on his word, for your testing will teach you to wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Easy to say, hard to do. Amen. But the Lord knows that we need to wait upon him. Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1. We've come back to the Beatitudes. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a little sad that the book of Ruth is finished. Now, may I say this, it's never finished. Because, I mean, be honest with you, I could go back and preach through the same book and get different things out of it probably. That's just how the Word of God works, you know. But we're excited to keep plowing through the Word of God. I'm asking, not that the Lord's going to answer this prayer, but I'm asking that the Lord help me from this pulpit to preach through every book of the Bible. Every book. You know what that means? If he answers that, you're stuck with me for a long time. Now, I realize some of you are going to add something to your prayer list this week. Lord, don't answer that prayer. Please don't answer that prayer, right? But we come to the book of Matthew again, chapter 5, verse number 1. We're giving you part 2 to the Beatitudes. And you guessed it. I'm on page 6, and I'm still typing, and we're only getting through verse number 6 tonight. So I don't know how long it's going to take me to get through this. And we'll just keep plowing until the Lord is finished. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Again, I give you part 2 to the message entitled, The Beatitudes. Father, we love you this night. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, I pray, to be pleasing in your sight. Speak to us, I beg of you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, again, as we come to the 5th chapter of Matthew, we have begun and embarked on what has been called the greatest sermon that was ever preached. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount that covers chapters 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Now, as we travel through this sermon, we'll see many things that the Lord deals with. And what has happened is we see the Lord saw the multitudes in verse number 1, and he went up into a mountain, and his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, the Bible says. And it's great to see the first word that came out of his mouth was the word blessed. And as I've already mentioned this before, some of this is repeat, but you know, we can go back and we can think of another mountain in the Old Testament where the voice of God thundered forth there. It was the Mount of Sinai. And as we came to that voice of God was thundering forth threatenings, if you will. And yet when you come to the New Testament, we see the blessed Son of God, God in flesh. He is now speaking on this mountain, and the first word that comes out of his mouth is blessed. This word means divine joy. It means perfect happiness. It means to be supremely blessed. It's been said that it refers to being approved by God and having God's smile on your life. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be approved by God, and I want his smile on my life. I want to have this divine joy and perfect happiness and be supremely blessed. Now, with this being said, we have the Beatitudes given by the Lord of glory for our instruction and our admonition. Now, with each one of these Beatitudes, we see a promise connected with it. And in these Beatitudes, we have the Lord's recipe, if you will, for a blessed life, a blessed death, and a blessed eternity. Now, I want us all to ask the Lord to speak to our heart, because here's how I'm applying these Beatitudes. There have been some disagreement among good men about, is God speaking in the matter of salvation, or is He speaking to His children? Well, the Bible says He's speaking here to His disciples. No doubt He sees the multitude, so it's not my purpose to say that it's only for God's children or it's for salvation. We can apply it both ways. Now, this being the case, I'm applying every beatitude to both ways, if you will, in the matter of salvation and the matter of being sanctified as a child of the living God. Now, this being the case, I would encourage all of us to include these beatitudes in our daily prayer list. In other words, maybe take the first one and on Monday and say, Lord, help me to be poor in spirit. As we've already preached through these first two, let me just tap them on the head. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've already preached on these first two, so I'm just going to tap them and go on. You can go back and get it if you want it on the internet or order it from us. But in a nutshell, what he's saying there is, blessed are those who realize that they are empty of themselves. Blessed are those who realize that in themselves they are nothing, but that I am everything. Because somebody who knows that, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Secondly, he said, blessed are those who mourn. And the idea here is those who are broken over the things that breaks the heart of God. I wonder tonight, are you broken over what breaks God? I'm talking about His heart. He says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, then we come to the third beatitude tonight, and that is in verse number 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, consider the following concerning this word meek, because some people say, well, if you're meek, you're weak. You want to bet? Amen. Now, stay with me here. This word meek doesn't mean weakness. It doesn't mean wishy-washy. It doesn't mean indecisive. It doesn't mean polite, and it doesn't mean shyness. It means gentleness. It means humility. It means being considerate and courteous. It is being lowly-minded and ready to give up your portion to the earth. It is being lowly-minded and quietly submitting to God. It is having a broken will and a receptive heart before God. It's the opposite of self-will toward God and ill will toward man. It is being patient and not given to anger or resentment. It is free from malice and desire for revenge. Matthew Henry said this, the meek are those who quietly submit themselves before God, to His word, to His rod, who follow His directions and comply with His design and are gentle toward men. I'm telling you that this word meek is a word that's apparently used in different ways. It is used as a doctor's word that's used for a soothing medicine to take away pain. The word meek is a sailor's word that's used for a cool breeze that brings freshness with it. It's used as a farmer's word that's used for a donkey who has been broken and is now useful. It is a word used by the Greeks to describe a horse that has been broken. Get this now. The word meek refers to power under control. It is self-emptying. It is self-brokenness. Somebody said this. He said that meekness does, now get this, here's what meekness really is. All I'm trying to do is define this for you and go on. When he said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, he's saying, blessed are they who have the right kind of power, but it's under control. And he's saying this right here. It means somebody who's not willing to defend themselves, but they are willing to die defending God. Did you hear what I just said? You know what it means to be meek? It means that when it comes to you, yourself, that you take a back seat. But when God's name is being blasphemed or God's glory is being stripped, then that person in their meekness, not in self, but in their meekness, they step forward and say, I'm not going to stand for that. That's meekness. You say, prove it. Thank you for asking me. Because you know what the Bible says in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3? It says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now the Bible tells us in Numbers 12, verse 3, it says that Moses was the meekest man on earth at that time. Now let's find out, does that mean that he just turns his face whenever wickedness is going on? Does that mean he's weak? Does that mean he's wishy-washy? Does that mean he's indecisive? Does it mean he's shy, like the world tries to make you think meek means? No. Because the meekest man on the earth, you see him coming down from the mountain where the hand of God has given him the law of God, and he saw a golden calf. And he saw him dancing around that calf. And the meekest man on earth got mad. Are you listening to me? And he threw the tables down and he took the calf and he burned it in fire. He ground it to powder, threw the powder on water, and forced the people to drink it. Now, does that sound like weakness to you, my friends? Absolutely not. But you know what made the difference in the meekest man's life, in his heart? He wasn't out to qualify himself. He wasn't out to defend himself. He was meek in that area. But his meekness in self made him be meek toward God as well. God's glory had been attacked. God's glory had been taken down, if you will. I mean, God's glory is exalted, but the children of Israel are worshiping a false idol. And Moses, in his meekness, stepped up and he took that and he threw the tables down and he burned it in fire, ground it to powder, strode it all over the water and said, get down and drink it. Now I'm telling you, are you upset when you see something robbing the glory of God? If you are not, you are not meek. You are weak. Amen. I'm telling you that true meekness is somebody who understands that when it comes to defending self, they're not too interested in that. But when it comes to defending the glory of God, they'll go to death for it. You take Jesus. What did Jesus say in Matthew 11, 29? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Yet we see the Lord walking into the temple and seeing him turning the house of God into a place of merchandise. And what did he do? The one who said, I am meek, what did he do when the glory of God was being attacked? When the house of God had something inside it that wasn't supposed to be there, what did he do? He went through and started throwing over their tables and driving them out with whips, my friends. Don't you ever fall prey to the world's definition of meekness. Because the world tries to make you think if you're meek, you're weak. If you're meek, you're shy. No, a true Bible-believing, I'm talking about somebody who loves God and loves the glory of God, they will be meek because they understand it's not me, it's him. And he's done so much for me that if he's being attacked, so am I, and I'm going to battle for him. That's meekness. That's meekness. Now, in both of these cases, we see that true meekness, it means that one is consumed not with self, but they are consumed with the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. The way you live your life, are you telling God that you mean more to yourself than he does? True meekness says, God, you mean more to me than I do. That's being meek. Then the Bible says there's a fourth one. Now, based on all of this, are you a meek person? Are you somebody that when you see something that should not be done, or if you see something that comes inside the house of God that's wickedness, or you see the glory of God being, people trying to take away his glory and give it to a false idol, if you see those things, you just sit back and say, well, I'm a meek person. That's not for me. God tells me to be meek. No, that's weakness. True meekness steps to the plate, so to speak, when the glory of God is at stake. That's meek. Then there's a fourth thing here. In verse number 6, the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the next beatitude brought out here for our learning is that of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines this righteousness as holy and upright living in accordance with God's standard. It comes from a root word that means straightness. In other words, God doesn't want you to be crooked, He wants you to be straight. Now, my friends, the body cannot do without food and without water. When an individual is gone without eating for a while, he or she becomes hungry with a strong desire for food. When an individual is gone without water, such as a man walking through the desert in the hot blazing sun, he longs for water to quench his or her thirst. In this, we see that hunger and thirst, now get this, is a sign of life. A dead person doesn't hunger, my friends. A dead person doesn't get thirsty. If you hunger and you thirst, you must be alive. This is one reason why I lean myself toward the thought that he is speaking to his disciples and that a child of God should be poor in spirit. A child of God should mourn. A child of God should be meek. A child of God should hunger and thirst, because only those who are alive can hunger and only those who are alive can thirst. And do you understand that hunger and thirst is a sign not only of life but of health? When you get sick, what's one of the first things that goes? Your appetite. Your appetite. And I'm telling you in the same way, and I get this, folks, just as the body hungers and thirsts for food and drink, even so we are blessed when we are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. This is a desire, now get this now, folks, listen to me. This is a desire and a longing to be righteous before God. This is a strong desire and yearning for God and nothing else. It's a hunger and thirst not for our own righteousness, but for that righteousness which comes from above. It's a desire to know God. In a child of God's life, it is a desire to be more and more and more and more like Christ. Now, we know in the Word of God that there is the righteousness of God that justifies the sinner. Because I told you I'm going to be applying both ways, because there is a spiritual application in both ways here. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Therefore they who are not saved, now get this now, folks, they who are not saved will get saved when they get hungry and when they get thirsty for the Lord to save their souls. After all, he is the bread of life, and he is the water of life. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, Jesus said, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 6:35, Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I'm telling you that there is an imputed righteousness which is talking about salvation, and there's some people who never get saved because they're so busy in this world that they don't have the desire to give their life to Jesus Christ. However, if you are saved, and this is what I believe the Lord's speaking of here, but I'm applying it here as well, there's also what's called the sanctification righteousness. That means this, that every child of God, when they have been saved, they ought to have an intense desire to know God more and to yearn to be more and more like Him. Just as the hungry man longs for food and the thirsty man longs for drink, God's child should long to please their God. One example of this would be Moses, again, who after he had seen the power of God in Egypt, and after he had stood there, now listen here, just try to put yourself in Moses' place. I mean, he goes down. Before he even goes to Egypt, he comes upon a burning bush that speaks to him. It's the voice of God says, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. He sends him down to the land of Egypt, and he sends Aaron with him. While they're down there, you remember all the 10 plagues they saw? I'm talking about frogs and lice and murrain and hail mixed with fire and all these other kind of things, the death of the firstborn, the water turned to blood, on and on we could go. I mean, he saw the mighty hand of God in the land of Egypt. And yet when Pharaoh finally released them, remember that Pharaoh changed his mind and their past was chasing them. The Egyptians were behind them. The Red Sea was in front of them. They were right in the middle. And God said, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. He held his rod up and Moses, with his own eyes, beheld the mighty power of God part the Red Sea in front of him. And he goes across on dry ground. And then the sea comes back over the Egyptians and kills every one of them. I'm telling you that Moses saw some mighty things from God. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, he saw God's hand work in a mighty way. Yet later on in his life, after the burning bush, after the land of Egypt, after the parting of the Red Sea, after all these things, he said, God, show me your glory. Let me just see you. I want more of you. This is what Jesus is speaking about. He's saying, blessed are those who are never satisfied. Blessed are those who are hungering now and are thirsting now to be righteous before me. Blessed are those who can't get enough of me. Blessed are those who have a strong desire to be like me. Another example of this would be Paul. Paul, who was Saul at this time, he was persecuting Christians. He was having Christians killed. He stood by and watched Christians martyred. And he had letters to go and do the same on his way to Damascus. But as you know, in Acts chapter 9, he was struck down with a bright light. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. And all Saul could say is, who art thou, Lord? And what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord spoke to him and said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Why kickest thou against the pricks? He was gloriously saved as a result of that meeting. And the Apostle Paul saw some great things in his life. My, how God delivered him time and time again. And yet when you come to the book of Philippians, here's what Paul said. He said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings. I'm telling you that what Paul and Moses were doing is, even though they had seen the mighty hand of God working in their life and they had seen miracles and all these kind of things, all that caused them to do was say, man, I like that. I want some more of that. I want more. Let me ask you a question. Have you had all of God you can stand? Are you satisfied with where you're at with the Lord? Remember, I'm telling you, learn to take the Word of God and apply it to your life. I'm asking, are you satisfied with your walk with Jesus Christ? Are you as much like Him as you want to be? Do you think that you're doing okay? Are you looking at your life and saying, I'm all right. This is as far as I want to go. I'll go this far, but no further. Then that is not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. See, this word hunger and thirst, it's in the present tense. It means right now you're hungry. Right now you're thirsty. He's trying to tell us you're never satisfied. You know, it's good to be content with materials, but you should never be content with your life. You should never be content with where you are. And I'm telling you, every one of us can be more like Jesus. You can be more like Jesus. I can be more like Jesus. Are we hungering and thirsting after Him? Because the Bible plainly teaches us that the Lord is our what? Righteousness. So when He says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, He's saying, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after the Lord. By the way, you are what you eat. That makes me nervous. You also are what you drink. So what are you tonight? Are you feeding on spiritual junk food? Or are you feeding on righteousness? Do you have a healthy appetite? There was a man who said this, and I quote, he said, "Lord, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be." That's what this verse is talking about. Make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. We should be longing to be as holy as our God is. There's a military leader by the name of Major Gilbert. He tells in his book entitled The Last Crusade of the thirst that he and his men suffered in the Palestinian desert in World War I. Here's what he said, and I'm quoting, "Our heads ached, our eyes became bloodshot and dim in the blinding glare of the sun. Our tongues began to swell over our lips. Our lips turned to purplish black and eventually burst. Those who dropped out of the column were never seen again. But the desperate force battled on. And there were wells at this particular place that he mentions here, and they had been cooled in the concrete that they were built with. And these men did fight. They did fight for their lives. And when we came to the station at that particular place," he said, "we left our heels behind running after that water." And after he said, "I believe that we all learned our first real Bible lesson on that trip from Beersheba to this place." He said, in other words, just summarizing what he's saying, "I remember leading this group, and we were so thirsty, and the sun was so hot that our tongues were swelling beyond our lips. And our lips were turning purplish and black, and eventually they would just crack open." And he said, "But we came upon this place," I'm paraphrasing what he just said, "and we found some water. And," he said, "when the battle was raging, we put our heels," in other words, they went as fast as they could, "and they were going for that water." And he said this, and I quote, "If such were our thirst for God and for His righteousness, for His will in our lives, a consuming, all-embracing, preoccupying desire, how rich we would be in the fruit of the Spirit." Let me ask you a question. Are you like Jeremiah, who talked about the Word of God and said he counts it more necessary than his food? Or do you come to a service like this and you can't wait to get out because a Big Mac's calling your name? That quarter pounder's calling your name. Those leftovers from lunch are calling your name. Are you more hungry for this world or that one? Do you get more hungry over food or God? Would you, if you had your choice between food and the walk with Jesus Christ this day, I'm talking about read His Word, pray to Him, fellowship with Him, if you had to choose which one you would take, which one would you take? Somebody says, "I'd take God." It's easy to say that. You reading the Bible every day now? You praying every day now? Are you soul winning? Are you trying to give gospel tracts out? You faithful to church? In other words, how can somebody say, "Oh, I'd take God," but they're not doing what He's telling them to do now? I'm asking, who, what are you hungry for? God says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They should be filled." A certain man had a faithful dog. The two loved to roam in the fields together. When lunchtime came, the man shared his lunch with the dog, and they both drank out of the same spring. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd do that. They were right together up to this point, but this was as far as they could go in sharing. See, the man loved music, but the dog, he didn't share that love. The man loved the 23rd Psalm, but the dog, he couldn't enjoy it. He can't read. The man prayed, but the dog knew nothing of prayer. See, the reason being is because when it's a dog and a man, they can only go so far, you see. Because a man's dreams and desires are higher than those of a dog, my friends. You know, so it is and so it should be with a Christian's longings. When you're settling for something in this world, you're settling, excuse me, I love dogs, but you're settling for a dog. You're settling for something that can never take you to where you're wanting to go. You're settling for something that cannot give you the fellowship that you're longing for. I'm telling you that God has made you and I in such a way that He wants us to fellowship with Him, and until we fellowship with Him, we will never be truly satisfied. It's just the way it is. Some people do not recognize that until later in life. In other words, there could, God forbid it, but there could be people tonight who in the privacy of your home, the privacy of your own heart, you're putting on a facade here. I hope not, but it's possible. In other words, there are people who say, I'm saved, but they're living like the devil themselves, and excuse me, they're having the time of their life. That's why they keep doing it. They keep on doing it because they're in the pleasures of sin for a season. But they will eventually get to the point, whether it's a month from now, a year from now, or 10 years from now, if God blesses them and is merciful to them and gives them life, they will eventually come to the point where they realize, this is not what I'm searching for. You cannot take a triangle and try to stick a circle inside of it. There will be some empty space and there will be some pain trying to fit it in there. I'm telling you that you have been made with a spiritual vacuum, and that vacuum is formed in the shape of the blessed Son of God. And only He can satisfy. And the blessed Son of God, He stands forth and He thunders forth these words. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. The Bible says in Psalm 63:1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 42:1, As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. Jeremiah 29:13, And ye shall seek me, God says, and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Matthew 6:33, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Romans 6:13, Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. When you have this hunger and you have this thirst for righteousness, the Lord attaches to it a promise. They shall be filled. Oh, this simply means that those who are hungering and thirsting to be saved, when they come to Him, He'll satisfy their salvation. On top of that, He means if you're my child and you have an intense desire inside of your heart, and He said, I know you're hungering, I know you're thirsty, and you're coming after me with all of your heart, and you're seeking after me, and you don't want things, you don't want somebody else, you want me and my blessings, and you're searching to be like me and more like me. He says, I promise you, when you get hungry like that, I'll fill you to the brim. I'll satisfy you. I'll make it to where you finally see in your life, this is what I've been searching for all of my days. I wonder tonight, Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. Proverbs 21:21, He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Tonight we've looked at two more Beatitudes. He starts off with saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who realize that they don't have it in themselves. Blessed are they who are empty in themselves and understand their shortcomings, but they know that what they cannot do, I can. Blessed are they, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn and are brokenhearted over what breaks my heart. Blessed are they who are broken over their own sin and broken over the wickedness around the world, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who will not defend themselves, if you will, but they'll defend my honor. Blessed are those who have my power in them, but it's under control, and they're not out for revenge to take somebody else down because of what they did. Blessed are those who will come under control and say, God, if your glory is at stake, I'll step in and I'll take a stand for you. Blessed are those when they see the golden calf that they don't step back and try to turn their face and ignore it, but they'll take it and burn it in fire, ground it to powder, stroll over the water, and force other people to drink it. Blessed are those who come, this is all under meek, and when they see something come inside the house of God, they'll take it and overthrow that table because that's not why the house of God is there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who are never satisfied. Blessed are those who are never satisfied with where they are in my sight. May they understand that I am the vacuum. I am the peace. I am the one they're searching for. And if they'll hunger and thirst after me, and they desire to be more like me, and more like me, and more like me, and more like me, I promise I'll come to you and I'll fill you up. And I'll make you satisfied. We're only started, folks. This is halfway through these Beatitudes. So far, how are you doing? Are you poor in spirit? Do you understand that you can't, but He can? Are you mourning? Are you broken over what breaks the heart of God? When you sin, does it break you? Or are people just skipping along, just going through life? I don't care what I'm doing. I tell you, if you're a true child of God, it ought to break your heart every time you break His. Are you meek? Are you to the point in your life that when somebody at your workplace blasphemes the name of God, you just can't be quiet about it? You've got to say something and stand up for the glory of God. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness, or do you think you've arrived? You're as far as you want to go. You're not going to go any further. I'm telling you, and I look at my own life, and I see where I need to be. I'm talking about the blessed Son of God. Can you see Him standing over here? He is harmless. He is pure. He is holy. He is separate from sinners. He doesn't revenge people. He doesn't have bitterness toward people. I'm saying right here He is. He's the blessed Son of God. And we see ourselves, and we're supposed to be like Him. We're supposed to be more like Him. We're supposed to be acting like Him and talking like Him and thinking like Him and going where He would go and being what He would be and saying what He would say. I don't know about you, but I've not arrived yet. Nor have you. But I wonder, do you want to get there? If He saved you, He's already made you like Him. Amen. But I'm talking about in your everyday life. How like Christ are you? If He does this, is it what you're doing now? If He says these things, is that how you speak during the week? If He speaks these words to His wife, is this how you speak your... do you speak the same kind of things to your wife, sir? Ma'am, are you responding the same way He would respond to that? It's time that we understand what a privilege it is to know Him as our Savior. And yet now He says, come after me with all your heart. Don't ever think you've arrived. There's more you can do. Yes, thank you for that, but what about this? What about that? What about this? I'm asking you. Are you listening well? Oh, I hope you figured out by now. I've already said this numerous times, but when I preach, I'm preaching to myself, and I'm just letting you listen in on it. This is me. This is the Holy Spirit dealing in my heart. You know the thing that I get to do? I get to have this message preached twice to me. One in my study, He wears me out. And I get up and preach it, and He wears me out again. I'm telling you, your pastor's not arrived yet, my friends. There's more things I need to do to be like Christ. There's things that's lacking in my life that God Almighty knows it should not be lacking. And tonight I want to get on my face and say, God, take away the hunger from everything else and give me a hunger for You. Let me thirst after You. These precious teenagers sitting here and scattered abroad. I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm still fairly young. I feel old, but I'm still fairly young. My desire for all of you teenagers and scattered around, and I'm talking about senior saints and younger saints and all the way through. Here's my desire.
My desire is not your money. My desire, listen to me, friends, is for you to seek and search and hunger and thirst after God. Because I can't satisfy you. This church cannot satisfy you. But I know somebody who can. His name is Jesus. You'll find fault in me. You'll find fault in this church. You'll find fault in everything else. But when you set your sights on the blessed Son of God, there's no blemishes there, my friend. And he's saying, blessed are they who understand that you've not arrived. I'm telling you, God's working in my heart. Oh, to be like thee. Brother Gary, why don't we just sing that? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's sing this song together. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. That's page number 320 is what it is, page 320. I don't know how God's speaking to you. I don't know how God's dealing in your heart, but I've let you listen in on my heart a little bit tonight. How much like Christ are you? Are you a meek person that if the glory of God's being attacked, then you're going to step to the plate and you're going to take care of it? How are you tonight? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? I mean, are you hungry for God? I'm not asking, are you hungry for what he has? I'm asking, are you hungry for him? Are you going after him? Are you thirsting for Jesus Christ? Has he shown you something tonight and you say, Jody, I've not arrived, but I want to get closer. I want to get closer. Maybe you're not saved tonight. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Maybe you need to come and say, God, make me hungry and thirsty after you. Make me meek. Whatever it is, some have already responded as Brother Gary sings, Father, help us now. Guide, lead, and direct in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. You're not even going to stand. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings,
oh,
stand
to
be
like
your feet. Come to this altar.
Thee,
talk to the Lord about it. Talk to God.
This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit
all
earth's treasures. Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear.
Sing it if you know it.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
They're playing through. Keep on singing, Brother Gary. That's a great one.
Oh, to be like
thee,
full of compassion.
Talk to God about it.
Loving, forgiving, tender and kind. Helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
They're playing through, folks are praying. I'd like you to look this way. We're just about through. I want you to take this hymnal. Turn to page 320. We're on number 3. This is going to be the way we're going to wrap this service up. We're going to sing these last 3 verses together. But I hope as we sing these together that you'll not just sing them, but that you'll pray them as you sing. Oh, I hope you mean this. To be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer. This is what the Christian life's about, my friends. Let's sing this 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And as soon as we get done with the 5th, we're dismissed. And I hope you'll go and share this with somebody this week. I hope you'll take it and share it again somewhere out in the community. Take a stand for God. Be more like him. Let's sing this 3rd verse together.
Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit.
Think about it now.
Lowly and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save.
Think about it. Sing it.
Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
I want us all to bow our heads and close our eyes. Brother Gary and I are going to sing this last verse together. When we get to the chorus, this is our closing prayer. And I trust as you sing it, you don't have to sing it out loud. Just, if you want to, blurt it out. If you want to raise your hand to the Lord, that's between you and God. But I hope this is your prayer. I know it's mine. Brother Gary and I will sing this, and you join us on the chorus, will you?
Oh, to be like thee while I am pleading, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
God bless you. You're dismissed. If you have a just keep playing there. If you have an interest to go on the chili trip, you come right up here. If you're visiting with us, please take it out through the lobby, drop it off there. That'll be a great thing. God bless you. Speak to each other on your way out. That'll be a good thing. Amen. Have a wonderful week.